Meanwhile, this I'll say this is Mae Brussel, in case you picked up at the beginning of the program. This is broadcast number 845, and I'll continue with the second half of World Watcher. The first article on Suham is titled, White House Quizzed on Ties to Slain Frenchman, Washington Times, and this came out December 18, 1986. A senior member of the National Security Staff, Michael Castine, and Ronald Reagan's appointment secretary, Frederick Ryan, who evidently took over when Helene von Daum went to Austria, were questioned by French authorities investigating the assassination of Glenn Suham, a French businessman who said he was doing work for the NSC. These two men went to Paris. Suham, 34, was ambushed, shot to death by two gunmen in Paris. There's belief he was killed because of his links to the White House. That's the way the article reads. I didn't make it up. Michael Castine, NSC Director of International Communications and Information, that's Charles Wick and U.S. Information, and Frederick Ryan, Deputy Assistant to the President, both were in Paris recently. Suham led a colorful international life. He said he was meeting with a certain lieutenant colonel at the NSC. This could have been the key to his slaying. Paris official says we're narrowing the investigation. We're getting to the target. It has to do because of his relations for the United States. Glenn may have gone to the United States and may have been dynamite for the what he had to say with information may have been dynamite for the people who killed him. Now, Barbara Honegger has been talking about Paris meetings where there were arrangements to send money to Khomeini in order to get the hostages held back until Ronald Reagan was inaugurated. That was a Paris meeting that Cyrus Hashimi attended, and he was murdered in London. So we don't know what's going on in Paris. This was a headquarters of a lot of the arms to Iran, but he had information that may have killed him. NSC member Michael Castine said the French officials wanted to know because in Suham's apartment in Paris, he didn't expect to be gunned down. They found papers from the State Department and from Central America, unclassified documents. He traveled constantly. He was involved in international real estate and oil. He was co-founder of a Paris-based security and bodyguard agency. He had famous friends and clients, one of them including financier Adnan Khashoggi. And Khashoggi had a bodyguard who was killed in Paris. Suham was close to Khashoggi. And the arms dealer who admitted that he played a major role in the secret sale of arms to Iran. Suham died, interestingly enough, just 1 week or the same week that Khashoggi was threatening William Casey that he was going to break the diversion money because he had put up $10 million for the first batch of arms to Iran, and he found out instead of being paid back, and Mr. Roy Fermack being paid back, that the money was going to the Contras instead of the $10 million they were going to give them. And the same week that Suham was killed in Paris is when Khashoggi forced the blackmail threats to Casey, who then took it to Meese, and Meese then had to go ahead and break the story about the diversion money. Khashoggi was mad, and he was a close friend of Glenn Suham. And Glenn told his friends that he was involved in the arms sales, that he had somehow tripped himself into what he said was a fatal mistake, and the French authorities haven't ruled out his role in the arms trade for being killed. This is from the Washington Times. He had official and social ties to the White House. He was President Reagan's special advisor on the President's Advisory Council to the private sector, investing private money into various, though it turned out to be fronts for diverting money to the Contras in addition to other operations. He had relationships with the National Security Council. He talked about doing mysterious work for them, and associates and persons wondered if his close friends wondered if the NSC link was the cause of his death. He came from a family of successful and socially well-linked French businessmen, and the very day that Glenn Suham was murdered, his father was in the White House. The very day that he was gunned down in Paris, his father was in the White House with various persons on business deals that his son worked with. I wonder what kind of a coincidence that is. And he was affiliated with Suham Companies, his father's company, a diversified holding company, consulting services, and the security business provided him with influential people. He was a master at opening doors of the powerful and many in the United States. Now, I can't believe that he didn't know Mr. Morinch, the man who was advising Ronald Reagan in the same city of Paris when he was instrumental in getting weapons, and I'll go into that, out of Poland, working with Lech Wałęsa and Solidarity, and then working with the Contras. This Paris scene, as I say, was one of the meetings to send the money to Khomeini for the arms deals that would be going on continuously when Reagan was inaugurated. Marange is there in Paris, head of the SDECA. So SUAM had to be cleared or part of the operation of Marange. Marange was working, and suggests, with the people that shot the Pope, Ali Agha's benefactor, Oral Salik. And the connections in Paris seem that the agency that Marange was head of, SDECE, the CIA is equivalent to ours, and Marange could go in and out of Reagan's life and out in California and meet him and advise him. Khashoggi was mentioned in the Lockheed scandals, working for the CIA and funneling money. Khashoggi with Furmark put up the money for the Iran-Contra affair. All this was going on in Paris, and money transferred, of course, wire services around the country. But Mr. Suham was close to all of these people. Suham, just before his murder, was recently made president of Walsh International, W-A-L-C-H International, and he represented Walsh Corporation out of Charlotte, North Carolina, a real estate development that invested in Europe and the Middle East. The partner in Walsh International was a man named Dean Overman, managing partner in charge of a law firm of Winston and Strewn. You won't remember these names, but Suham was made president of a company called Walsh International, whose law offices were in Washington, D.C., Stephen Walsh and Dean Overman being the head lawyers, and it was Mr. Overman out of that office that introduced Suham to the Reagan White House. Now, Overman is now a law partner of Vice President Walter Mondale. Think of Walter Mondale and what happened at Jonestown when he was under Jimmy Carter. Walter Mondale is law partner with Overman, the man that first introduced Suham to the National Security Council. Now, that is really scary. 10 days after Suham was murdered, just 10 days after, Eugene Hassenfuss landed in Nicaragua. And the White House strategy memos say that they suggested that Walter Mondale or former Attorney General Griffin Bell get Hassenfuss out. They wanted one of these two Democrats, which I thought and mentioned on the air at the time was more than weird. And Mondale didn't go down, but Griffin Bell did. And Griffin Bell, as I've said, is on the board of E.F. Hutton. And he's the attorney for E.F. Hutton, the very firms that were sending money for Agha that went through Switzerland, that went to Mr. Oral Salik, to Agha. And Mr. Marange in Paris was wanted by the Italian authorities with six of his officials for the shooting of the Pope story. And Walter Mondale's law partner is the very man that represents Walsh International and Glenn Suham. And as I say, this law office must, having a Democrat there and a man so staunchly Republican, this is where Walter Mondale sits today. And it's very strange, but it explains why Walter Mondale never speaks up on a lot of important issues, particularly the Iran-Contra, because you see who his law partner is and how he's webbed into that operation. Mr. Overman, the partner of Mondale, also worked closely with President Gerald Ford, the old Warren Commission Ford. Remember the one appointed by Crook Nixon to be president? He's associate director of the White House Domestic Council. And Deal Overman is a partner with Suham, the same Glenn Suham that was gunned down. And he also was assistant to Vice President Nelson Rockefeller, who was Deep Six, conveniently, just prior to the time when Ronald Reagan was nominated and became elected as president. And Rockefeller was nicely tucked under, 6 feet under the ground, very dead. And the Republican votes then went to Ronald Reagan. And when Mr. Overman learned of Suham's death, he thought right away it might be connected to the National Security Council. Well, if you're working with Gerald Ford and you buried Nelson Rockefeller, it's what else is new, I suppose, that one of your buddies is dead? And he said, well, it probably had to do with the NSC. Suham, as I say, worked for a certain lieutenant colonel. There were two lieutenant colonels in the National Security Council. But he met with someone from the White House in Paris in 1986, and this lieutenant colonel gave him all sorts of code words to use, and he described it as an intelligence operation. One friend suggested he might have played not only a role in the Iranian arms affairs, he seemed to, but also with the arming of the Contras. He was at both sides of the operation. Mr. Suham had two Swiss bank accounts where he was funding these operations. One of them was the same bank where the money went for the weapons to Iran was deposited in the name of Lake Resources. And the base for Lake Resources was in Panama, one of those Panama banks that Mr. Rodriguez was testifying about this last week. And Suham didn't use his name at the bank account. They used Mr. Walsh of Walsh International, law offices of Winston and Strewn, and Dean Overman, who is a law partner of Walter Mondale. He had two passports, Mr. Suham, a French passport and one from Paraguay. Remember Nancy Reagan's housekeeper maid, the lady that selects her clothes or puts them out at night, who had almost 1 million rounds of ammunition to send to Paraguay. She was a translator for the arms sale. Down to Mr. Stroessner, who was reelected yesterday as the dictator of Paraguay for the umpteenth time. Well, Suham had a passport to Paraguay as if he were a Paraguayan citizen as well as French. And he also told people, according to this article, he knew his life was in danger. He told a friend one week before that he was in danger. He said some very mean people out there who you just don't want to cross up. And he said he made an unusually large amount of money the summer of 1985. And one of the important points about this that I forgot to say before I got to the French connection is that Mr. Rodriguez, testifying at the hearings this past week, made it very clear that money went to Paris almost weekly, at least every month or weekly, that money went from the Panamanian banks and that he had money in accounts of the CIA they deposited, and the drug money went into the same banks, and the money came out of Panamanian banks and went to Paris regularly, if not weekly, monthly. Definitely Paris, he said. The money was going to Paris. So if the National Security Council and George Bush with his drug connections with Noriega, this is why he's saying hold on or whatever, the money from the CIA could go in the same accounts that Mr. Rodriguez was using and into the Panamanian banks and then go directly to Paris to go to the likes of Mr. Suham, who was dealing with Theodore Shackley and Thomas Kleins and General Secord and Albert Hakim on the weapons deals that were to go down to the Contras and the operations out of Poland and Paris. And the bank they used was Lake Resources, and the funding for Lake Resources is the and the Udall Company were out of the Panama banks. As he said, I'll quote once more, he told friends some very mean people out there that he's worked with, and you just don't want to cross up with them. He made an unusually large amount of money in the summer of 86. I made a very big deal, and I've made an enormous amount of money like I've never made before in my life, which sounds like the Panama Noriega deposits, and in return, what did he do? The People's Daily World had an article, People's Daily World, February 24th, 1987, by Carl Blois, Murder Stalks Colonel North's French Connections. And this is the way this story goes. After the Irangate scandal broke, Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North said, in quotes, people who share his beliefs died face down in the mud because they held the line. Glenn Suham died face down in Paris, September 24th, 1986. And as I say, 11 days later, the Southern airplane went down. And he had connections to those very people. Suham was directly connected to President Reagan. He worked on his key projects. He was part of the private sector initiative, and he was part of the armed Nicaraguan counter-revolutionaries. Suham's murder is another in a series of violent deaths possibly connected with the Irangate scandal, who have died untimely deaths since 1983. This is what Carl Blois said. And just to run off a few of them that I've detailed, some I've mentioned on the air, Suham is one I'm doing tonight and I haven't done with you before, Glenn Suham, National Security Council member Dr. Richard Beale, Senator Ed Zorinsky, who was making the ties, the Nguyen Bank, NSC agent for the CIA and the arms Duran, Cyrus Hashemi, Olaf Palme, and Carl Friedrich Algernon of Sweden because of arms being sent to Iran, NSC advisor Donald Fortier, Admiral Moreau, David, who was killed at John Hall's ranch in Costa Rica, Adler Barry Seal, Stephen Carr, the primary witnesses to the Christic suit, Dr. Schultz, the man in charge of Ollie North's psychological papers, Hugh Barchel of Germany, killed because of the arms Duran scandal, Colonel Nutt, killed in Paris, a part of the Ajat story linked to the National Security Council and Morange and Reagan's team, Santos Trafficante, Edward Lansdale, Mike Burke, James Angleton, and William Casey, five of the biggest counterintelligence, central intelligence agents, two of them Knights of Malta, Angleton and Casey. All five died within just a few weeks' time. Some were old, yes, but Casey was just ready to testify the next day. I don't know what the mathematical chances are that all those particular drug dealing experts that did the drug traffic, the weapons, and the arms shipments all together died within this short time period. George Perry was linked to the arms to Iran. Nicholas Deke, who was gunned down in New York, and a news reporter in Lebanon who broke the story of the arms going to Iran in Iran, and the agent who told about the arms deals going to Khomeini, had his head cut off, and a lawyer for OPIC, that's the Overseas Private Investment Company, was killed by John Hall's ranch. I'll go into that in one moment. And James Thurberger, the CIA agent that was George Bush's drug connections, I wonder about him. But Carl, that's just getting a few. He mentioned that a lot of people tied to this have died untimely deaths. I just mentioned 24 right off the top of my head. I wrote them down for you, but I have many files on these people and how they died and at what time. Now, Mr. Suham, according to this article, dealt in oil, real estate, and he was involved with international business and domestic affairs and foreign policy, and he was part of the president's, as I say, private sector initiative operation, and he made two trips to Grenada for the White House. A few months after the invasion, he was in Grenada, and he went back in 1986, and he preceded Reagan, and he arranged the flags and the demonstrations and made sure they were draped properly over the balconies. That photo opportunity of Reagan going to Grenada, Suham did that. Then he went back to Washington, the White House, where he personally was seen with Ronald Reagan. And he was directing when Reagan set up the private charities, the private sector initiatives. That means send arms to the Iranians, the Afghanistan, what he calls the freedom fighters, or Angola, make it look like charities. And we found what they were. They're really private sector, quote, private sector that belonged to the intelligence community closely linked to them. Michael Castine, as I say, from the National Security Council, worked with Suham, and Frederick Ryan worked closely with him. Frederick Ryan, the appointment secretary, was formerly head of OPSI, the Office of Private Sector, when he was working with Mr. Suham. And also Michael Castine of the NSC worked in the Office of Private Sector before he went on to National Security Council and worked with Glenn Suham. The New York Times, March 1983, said a special organization meeting was set up by Charles Wick, U.S. Information Agency, in 1983 of March to set up Project Democracy. Those would be the private sector people, and this was done through the White House and the Pentagon, meeting with people like John Singlaub and Fred Eakley, and I've detailed the likes of those people setting up what they call the private sector, which is just a big cover. The meeting of those private sector, in quotes, involves such people as Chicago businessman W. Clement Stone. Clement Stone was very much involved with Watergate and funding Dwight Chapin, the appointment secretary, until he got out of jail. He's part of a group in Texas that has put billions of dollars into turning the whole world Christian, and he works with Bum Bright of Texas from Young Americans for Freedom, who was involved with the murder of John Kennedy with General Walker, and bringing the YAF people from Munich, Germany for the time of the Kennedy murder. Clement Stone is part of the Project Democracy private sector that SUAM operated. Also, Rupert Murdoch was part of that. Rupert Murdoch came here from Australia. He bought up the Chicago Tribune, if you remember. Maybe you don't. I had it on the air because, according to Mike Royko, he didn't want any more articles about Jonestown, and he didn't want anything about Edwin Meese's confirmation. Well, Edwin Meese turned out to be a disaster, and Mr. SUAM, working with the private sector, worked with Murdoch. Murdoch came to California and bought 20th Century Fox. And recently he's been confronting the powers that be in Washington wanting to buy a newspaper in Boston. Murdoch couldn't buy 20th Century Fox because he owned television studios and newspapers in the motion picture studio. It was too much property for one man to own, who came from Great Britain, originally Australia, not an American citizen. And there was a question about his being able to buy all the media that he did in Los Angeles, which is worldwide media, because 20th Century makes photos for the whole world. So that was solved. The problem went to Ronald Reagan, and in 24 hours, Rupert Murdoch was made an American citizen. That's the gentleman that wants to buy the newspapers and push Ted Kennedy out of the political scene in Boston. So these people were on the committee with SUAM. Those are just a couple of them. The article, Murder Stalks Colonel North's French Connection, that's no exaggeration. Another story, June 25th, 1987, out of the Washington Times again by John McKason, titled Polish Contra Arms Tide Sighted in Paris Slaying, and this gets even heavier. Agents in the Eastern European government may have assassinated, again like the KGB or whatever, the Eastern agents may have assassinated Mr. SUAM because he was helping Oliver North get arms from Poland to the Nicaragua resistance. SUAM, according to Washington Magazine, printed in June and July of 1987, said that Glenn SUAM helped Oliver North, so you know which lieutenant colonel it is, to work with the Polish trade union Solidarity. Members of Solidarity helped with elaborate schemes to smuggle weapons to the Contras. Pope John Paul II was caught giving $50 million to Lech Walesa for Solidarity, and we hear about all the poverty or the problems in Poland and the oppression under the communists, and here is Lech Walesa working with Oliver North's agent Glenn SUAM. And according to these articles in the Washington Times, Colonel North told him 2 weeks after SUAM was killed that supplying those arms again was the quotation, serious business. He was getting them out of Poland. The Israeli officials turned down the effort to supply the Contras, the batch that Oliver North wanted, with untraceable arms. But North then went to the CIA and to the NSC and made his connections to SUAM, living in Paris. And again, Mr. Marensch of the French CIA, the SDECA, right there in Paris, they had those connections to the United States. So North supplies started for the Contras. The outlawed Polish trade union had enough weapons to spare. The Sandinistas were outfitted with Soviet-made and Eastern Bloc weapons. So every time you see somebody dead, they can throw it on the ground and say, look at the weapons the Sandinistas got. And they felt the Sandinistas had Russian weapons, so therefore the Contras did have similar weapons. And as I say, drop them and say, look at all these weapons the Sandinistas have. According to this article, the Soviet weapons are more simple to operate, and SUAM had channels in the eastern part of Europe. And so he had false identification documents and papers made for people in Poland, provided by North and the CIA, given to the Solidarity leaders. They gave them their supporters in the Polish railway station. They used phony documents. They got Soviet arms from the Polish army. They were diverted to East Germany. And then the weapons, the AKM assault rifles, the SA-7 missiles, were smuggled into West Germany. And then the officials were bribed by Western agents and local officials. And then the arms were shipped to warehouses in Honduras and then supplied to the Contras. And when North was asked whether or not to deny these allegations that came in Washington Magazine, he said, I have no comment because my attorney, Mr. Brendan Sullivan, will shoot me if I keep talking. So these are the weapons that were purchased through Secord and Hakim through the same banks that Souham had in Paris. And you can see why this guy had to be shot very soon after, or just before these stories began to be unglued. I had a lot of reason to believe that Hassanfuss took a parachute and got out of the airplane, and this story began to unfold for various reasons that persons wanted it to happen, and an agent provocateur situation that pulled certain people down and out of office and left others looking squeaky clean, like Fritz Kramer and Henry Kissinger and Alexander Haig and Zbigniew Brzezinski, the elder statesmen who hang around and give their opinions on different problems while they watch these other people dying and squirming around to defend themselves. So just 11 days before the Nicaraguan operation, this Mr. Souham was gunned down in Paris. Another story in the Washington Times, slain Frenchman met Reagan in 1984. Glenn Souham was in the White House meeting Reagan. The White House was well aware of his first visit to Grenada in 1984. The trip to Grenada was sponsored by the OPIC, the Overseas Private Investment Company. He was advisor to the White House. Now, the OPIC that he worked on the board, is the same company, and I'm running out of time, I'll have to do this next week, that Edwin Meese was using for the Iraqi pipeline. This is the same company that I mentioned on these programs. Money going over $300,000 to John Hall's ranch in Costa Rica. Glenn Souham represented, his trip was sponsored by the OPIC, the Office of Private Investment Company. Souham was an advisor to the White House on not only the private sector, but this very company, and worked for them. And the White House confirmed that his father, as I say, Gerard Souham, was meeting with White House officials, the administration officials, the very instant that his son was gunned down. And this is the Washington Times, December 19th, at the White House. They confirmed at the instant his son was gunned down in Paris on September the 24th, 1986. His father, Gerard Souham, was meeting at the White House with administration officials. And this son was working with the OPIC, the very agency that Edwin Meese is in trouble now with, and may even not only be removed from office, but there may be many consequences following this. On World Watchers number 830, I talked about OPIC and the pipeline to Iraq, and also referred to John Hall getting $375,000 carried by Robert Owen, working for the same agency. I'll do more on OPIC next week with you, but there's a long article in the Washington Post, February the 2nd. Tiny agency welcomes relief from obscurity. Meese controversy spotlights the OPIC, and Glenn Souham worked for that agency. And this article says that the late Senator Frank Church objected to this agency, that most of the funding, 41%, went to 11 multinational companies, including Dow Chemical, W.R. Grace, and J.P. Morgan, that they got the bulk of the insurance from that company. Now, that is a lot on the French Connection for you to think about or digest, of the deaths and the interlocking links, not only to the shooting of the Pope and Mr. Marange and Ronald Reagan's contacts in Paris, and this gentleman who worked with Ollie North, Secord Hakim, the same banks they used. And for whatever reason, at that moment in history, they decided it was time to do away with Mr. Souham at the instant, the very time that his father was in the White House. These people really are too much, I'll tell you. To see them operate with each other is pretty gruesome. But as Mr. Rodriguez says, if you've got a cause, you have to do some very unconscionable things. If you've got a cause, that's all that matters. So with that, we'll conclude the first hour of World Watchers, so that then you get your chance to call about these things. I want to say that this hour, World Watchers, was made possible in part by Aries Arts, in the heart of Capitola Village, serving Santa Cruz's growing consciousness for over 20 years. And also, the views expressed here are those of myself, Mae Brussel, and they do not necessarily reflect the views of Cazoo staff or board of directors. And with that...